I believe in God, creator of heaven and earth. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you look at today's gospel in the light of today's gospel, I mean the new religion of environmentalism, of earth consciousness, as you would, for example, in the latest encyclical of Bergoglio, Laudato Si, then you wouldn't find much in the way of good news in the gospel. A voice of one crying in the wilderness. Well, the wilderness, I've got to worry about that. Who's taking care of the wilderness, keeping it in its pristine state? And then mountains and hills brought low? Is that an allusion to strip mining in Kentucky? Shouldn't that concern me as well? And then man always going about making rough ways plain. That can't be good for the planet, can it? The Pope wanted a flashy kind of a propaganda coup for those climate talks that just concluded in Paris. So he organized an anti-human, in effect, an environmentalist light show in the Vatican using the facade. Did you see any pictures of that? The facade of St. Peter's Basilica, which is the universal symbol of Catholicism, as a projection screen for just the weirdest show you could ever imagine. And it was done on the Feast of Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, December 8th. In the old days, they used to light it up by hand before there was electric to honor our Blessed Mother. But this was not done for the Mother of God. It was done for Mother Earth and the animals. And so the people in the square saw images of gigantic lions and tigers and bears superimposed on St. Peter's, the very place where early Christians were once fed to those same beasts. And then, by means of light tricks, they could do this. It looked as though St. Peter's was consumed with flames, with camels in the foreground. Then it was turned upside down and flooded. And you saw sea turtles and clownfish floating by. And then the Buddhist monks made their appearance. The show was partly sponsored by a Seattle-based company, Vulcan Incorporated, which is, they say, dedicated to exposing sins against the climate. Sins? Well, if we're talking sins, well, then there are commandments. And then a liturgy and saints and sacrifice, prophets. It is a religion. It is a new religion. Vatican II, you gotta love it. So many new religions, so little time. First came, 50 years ago, the worship of man. Paul VI, the Novus Ordo, tabernacle and altar out, crucifixes down, and all of the rest in order to dethrone God, to eliminate him, and put man in his place, president's chair. But now, man has been knocked off his perch, reduced to equality with the earth or and animals, or even, this is next, a little bit under them, under the environment, which comes first, mountains and hills and wildernesses. The earth becomes a god. And mankind itself, not just white Western men, such as they're going after now in the state-sponsored, tax-paid-for universities, But human beings have to be criticized now and attacked in this new earth-centered vision of things. Throw in gender to dissolve any lingering notions of objective identity or essence, and you are very near the new ideal, pantheism, a certain equality, egalitarianism, and the worship of the earth. The earth is for the animals, and we're just one more species, and we had better learn to behave ourselves. This is the new religion, symbolized by the desecration on the holy day of St. Peter's Basilica. The Pope and his crew have done what ISIS so far has never managed, to mount this incredible blasphemy right at the Vatican. Remember how from time to time there's some sort of a movie or an exhibit, supposed art, and Catholics will get all upset over it, and there'll be petitions and demonstrations and protests. Nothing of that sort in Rome or in the Vatican. No one's organizing anything against this. The traditionalists that I know are piping down and lining up to sign up with the new religion. But our faith remains for us Catholics, and we do find it in our catechism. Why is God called creator of heaven and earth? God is called creator of heaven and earth because he made heaven and earth and all things out of nothing by his word. The first words of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, in principio, in the beginning of time, when there was nothing else existing except for God, time began with the world, so that before the creation of the world, there was no time. The words of Genesis, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Heaven here doesn't mean the sky with planets and the stars. No, it means the dwelling place of angels and of saints. After that comes the earth, the material earth, in which we dwell now for a time. But the first words of the Bible are to tell us we're not for earth permanently. We've got another home waiting for us. The spiritual world consists of angels and the heaven where they dwell. They're called by Scripture morning stars, the angels, because they were created at the morning of the universe, before the material world. Hell had not yet been created. It only would be after the fall of the rebel angels. So the material world includes all things which are found in the visible universe. What does it mean to create? You know that, right? Create means to make out of nothing. Man can make many things. You make furniture and clothing. You can make a house. But we need material to work with. Only God can make things without material. So how did God create? God created simply by a command or an act of his almighty will. He spoke, the Psalms say, and they were made. He commanded, and they were created. So what is the scriptural account of creation? The days, the first day, a void and empty earth was created, and then light was created. On the second day comes the firmament. Did you ever wonder, what's the firmament that's in the Mass today? The Schola sang about the firmamentum, the firmament praising or declaring the work of God's hands. The firmament is the division, the separation of the planets. After God separated the stars and the planets, and this the space in between, what we would call outer space, or the whole universe in a sense, that's the firmament which declares the works of God's hands. On the third day, he brought forth trees and plants, and on the fourth, God made the sun and the moon and the stars. And on the fifth came creeping things and birds and fishes. On the sixth day, beasts and cattle came into being, and finally was man created. And after it all, on the seventh day, God rested. Genesis. There are many questions that you could possibly raise about the first book of the Bible. Many points for study, for speculation, even, for discussion. The age of the earth, evolution, partial evolution, young earth movement. Dare we even intone the word geocentrism? And they all would be, these questions of study, certainly worth a series of sermons or of classes. A good example of what I mean would be the term, the 6 days of creation. A day in Scripture doubtless refers to a period of time. It couldn't be a day as we understand it to be, because 4 of those days had passed before the sun was formed, and the sun gives us our day. Therefore, these days were not as we understand them. From the story of creation, though, we learn that God made the world in a fixed or an orderly fashion, proceeding from the lower to the higher, and that the world is not eternal, and that God keeps the world in existence. That wonderful thought, I remember as a child thinking about this once and just kind of being struck by it. If God, remember sister saying, if God stopped thinking about us, we would stop existing. That would be the end of it. Wow. This universe of ours, the world, will it last forever? It will. It is not eternal, but it is immortal. You remember the distinction. Eternal has no beginning and no end. Immortal simply has a beginning, but will have no end. Your soul is immortal. So St. Peter says, explaining how the forms will change, but matter itself will always endure, the day of the Lord shall come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with great violence, and the elements shall be melted with heat, and the earth and the works in it shall be burnt up. But we look for new heavens and a new earth according to his promises. Now, are all creatures good? God saw everything and saw that it was good, Scripture tells us. So, even reptiles, even raccoons, even insects serve some good purpose of the good God. Sometimes they serve to punish us for sin. And that could be enough. Even bacteria, we've learned of late, are healthful and necessary for us. Many animals that flourished years ago upon the earth have now become extinct. Think dinosaurs. And that's okay. It's not a tragedy. It's something that happens. Why did God make the world? He made the world because of his goodness, essentially. St. Thomas says, that's his nature. He is all good. Bonum est diffusivum sui, is the phrase. Goodness pours itself out. It is his nature to share himself with others. And so he makes man, and for the sake of man, he makes material world, and all of it is meant to be for his glory, so that we may honor God and glorify God. So in this sense, the world was created for us, for man. Don't let them persuade you of something else. And man was created for God, to use the world so as to give God glory and save his soul. Don't let them tell you something else. In that sense, then, man is the king of creation. He is its apex. Everything is made for man, that man may make everything over to God. That's the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King, to subject all to God. God is the final end and the final purpose of the universe. What about the animals? The animals were destined by God for the service of man. That's why Adam named them in Scripture. Some to be used for service itself, some for food, and some, we would doubtless say today, for companionship. And as we've seen, even for man's chastisement. But there's another purpose which animals serve. The wonderful world of the imagination and of worship. Symbolism. Symbolism. The lion. The lamb. We read of them in Isaiah today in the sacred liturgy, and they come up often, the golden lamb over our tabernacle. But now the lamb is no longer on his throne. All of creation is disturbed. St. Paul says it groans in travail. Lucifer, which means light bearer, produces his light show by night and blinds us with the glory of his world by day, the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. What a world we live in now. What an advent we are having. St. Paul to the Romans, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of the image of a corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed beasts, and of creeping things. Wherefore, God gave them up to the desires of their heart, unto uncleanness, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. But it is almost Christmas, and the Church never leaves us without that glimmer of hope. St. Leo tells us in the Matins last night, if we with faith and prudence understand the beginning of our creation, we shall find that man was formed to the likeness of God in order that he might be an imitator of his maker, and that this is a dignity natural to our race, that the form of the divine majesty shines in us as in a kind of a mirror, to which dignity daily the grace of the Savior truly restores us, since what fell in the first Adam is raised up in the second. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.